Fortunately for me. Agata asi.
You have come here.
Vadram.
All auspiciousness. Te. Unto you. Gramyan. Sensual. Kaman.
Desired enjoyable objects.
Avipsase.
You want to enjoy.
Udvahishyami.
I shall supply.
Tan.
All of them.
Te.
Unto you.
Aham.
I.
Svabandubihi.
With all my friends.
Arindama.
O killer of the enemy.
So translation, O killer of the enemy, you have somehow or other come here.
This is certainly great fortune for me. I wish all auspicious things for you.
You have a great desire to satisfy your senses, and all my friends and I shall try our best in all respects to fulfill your desires.
So you can repeat, O killer of the enemy.
You have somehow or other come here.
This is certainly great fortune for me.
I wish all auspicious things for you.
You have a great desire
to satisfy your senses.
And all my friends and I
shall try our best
in all respects
to fulfill your desires.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The living entity comes down into this material world for sense gratification, and his intelligence, represented by the woman, gives him the proper direction by which he can satisfy his senses to their best capacity. In actuality, however, intelligence comes from the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he gives full facility to the living entity who has come down to this material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 41, Vyavasayat Mekha Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahushakha Yanantascha Budhayo Vyavasayanam. Those who are on the spiritual path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. When a devotee is advancing towards spiritual realization, his only aim is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not care for any other material or spiritual activity. King Paranjana represents the ordinary living entity, and the woman represents the ordinary living entity's intelligence. Combined, the living entity enjoys his material senses, and the intelligence supplies all paraphernalia for his enjoyment. And as soon as he enters the human form, the living entity is entrapped by a family tradition, nationality, customs, etc. These are all supplied by the maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the living entity, under the bodily conception of life, utilizes his intelligence to the best capacity in order to satisfy his senses. So, Dishyagatosi Badramte Gramyan Kamam Vipsase Udvahishyami Tamsteham Subhanduvir Arindama. So, Om Magana Tunandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, Krishna states in the Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu namidvesho stina priyaha. So this is a very interesting point in regard to this verse. That samoham, aham of course means I, samo means to be equal poise. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am equal to all living entities. And he also says no one is especially my friend and no one is my enemy. Which is quite an interesting statement. In other words, Krishna is neutral.
Of course, let me clarify that statement. He's neutral in the sense of being equal to everybody, but he's not neutral in the sense of not caring about you. That may be misunderstood when we say Krishna's neutral. You may think, oh, Krishna doesn't give a damn, you know, whatever you do. Whether you chant, you don't chant, whether you follow regular principles, don't follow regular principles, whether you're a devotee or not, Krishna, who cares? He doesn't care. He's just like enjoying up there. That's not exactly the point. Krishna cares. Confirmed. Did it spill? Did anything spill? Or so you got to get a little paper. So Krishna just confirmed it. So Krishna does care. In fact, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this story about Gopakumar, we find that Krishna personally came down as Gopakumar's spiritual master because he was waiting for Gopakumar so long, and he was just really caring about him. And when Gopakumar finally went back to the spiritual world, Krishna fainted in ecstasy. He embraced him and he fainted in ecstasy, and all the residents of Vrindavan thought that Gopakumar was some sort of tantric or witch or something like that, and he had hurt Krishna. They thought, wow, who is this person? And of course Balaram understood exactly what was happening. So Krishna is really hankering for us to go back. However, he is neutral in his approach to us. In other words, that's because we have this free will business. He respects our desires. That's his neutrality. He respects our desires, even though he disagrees. And that's God. I mean, that shows real detachment. To deal with people and to respect their own needs and desires is very difficult in this world, isn't it? I mean, just like, that's real empathy. Not just imposing your own will on someone. Sometimes you see relationships, not sometimes, most of the times, you see relationship between husband and wife, for example, and the husband doesn't respect the wife's desire or her needs. It's just that he just sees her as an object rather than a subject. You understand what I mean? That's not neutrality. He just sees her as an object for his own enjoyment. That's what a wife is for, of course, isn't it? A wife is for cooking. A wife is for cleaning. A wife is for keeping her mouth closed when she's not spoken to. I mean, people have that mentality. Or the woman is also thinking, you know, that the husband is for making the money. And, you know, I can manipulate him by twitching my eyebrows, but I need some more money. I mean, if it would work for me, I would have the money to build the temple already. Just go around twitching my eyebrows at people. But that wouldn't do any good. They'd probably disrespect me if I did that. So we're generally dealing with people. That's a very impersonal way of dealing. If you think about it, you know, people talk about personalism, but personalism begins in our interpersonal dealings. That's really where it begins, like how you respect someone else's independence, autonomy, how you respect someone else's needs, and you don't see them as an object to carry out your own particular purposes or, you know, some managerial purposes like that. So personalism means that. So Krishna is a personalist. He's not an impersonalist. If Krishna was an impersonalist, then he would be dealing with you as an object rather than a subject. In other words, you know, people sometimes, I even heard one of my godbrothers pray one time, you know, Krishna, take away my free will. You know, so I could serve you. I mean, just make me serve you. But that's really treating you like an object. You know, it's really impersonal. Because Krishna wants you to be a person. He wants you to express your desires. He wants you to, and he gives you facility for that. Because without giving you, that's another point, without giving you facility would also be impersonalism.
You know, if Krishna said, all right, you have all this desire, but I ain't giving you facility to do it. I mean, it's more personal than me. Because sometimes a devotee may say, you know, well, I'd like facility to go to the beach this weekend. You know, give me some money, you know, whatever. You know, pay for my gas. Let me borrow your credit card. I said, hell no. So, you know, so my personalism is sort of limited. I'm not going to give facility to you. You know, let me go to McDonald's. You know, Gurudev, can I go to McDonald's? Hell no. Can I? You know, anyway, so people ask me so many questions. You know, I have to not give them facility. But Krishna gives facility even to go to McDonald's. Isn't that amazing? Even to go to McDonald's or to go... Of course, there's nothing wrong with going to the beach. I'm not criticizing anyone who goes to the beach. But... Yeah, but something sinful, let's say, or even to smoke marijuana, or to whatever people do, you know, illicit sex. They just discovered, what was the state? I think it was Arizona or something like that. It was Arizona. They had a registered church. You know, it was actually a brothel. You know, it means a house of prostitution. You know, so they had a church and they registered as a nonprofit organization with the United States. Government, and then on their website they had come to our church and see the goddesses. So of course, ultimately the government cracked down on them. But Krishna just gives facility for this stuff, for all sorts of garbage. He gives you facility to be a pig. He gives you facility to be a bird. He gives you facility. I saw a cockroach this morning in the temple. He gives you facility to be a cockroach. I mean, that's really personalism. He's like the most liberal daddy you ever had. You know, my father was not so liberal. He was pretty liberal. He gave me a facility to join the Hare Krishna movement. He gave me a facility to go to Europe and everything like that. But he certainly, there was a limitation to that. But Krishna is so kind. And then at the same time that he gives you facility, he's just really feeling pain. But he doesn't give you a guilt trip about the whole thing. He's even better than a Jewish mother or father who gives you a guilt trip. You know, yeah, you want to go there, but you're really killing me. You joined the Hare Krishna, just like I joined the Hare Krishna movement, my mother sent a message that she's dying. And that was like 40 years ago. She's still swimming 50 laps a day and everything. She hasn't died yet. So Krishna doesn't even do that. You know, Krishna doesn't send you a message saying, you know, you're causing me great pain, you know, you're enjoying the material world. He just says, you know, go for it. Try it out. And he understands. He understands that, you know, just like that story of Markandeya Rishi, for example. Markandeya Rishi pleased Krishna, and Krishna said, what do you want? And he said, well, I'd like to see Maya. And Krishna just looked at him ruefully and thought, you know, huh? Isn't that so intelligent? So the next thing Markandeya Rishi knew, that he was in the waters of devastation. This is in the Bhagavatam. Floating in the waters of devastation, and, you know, just like drowning. There was these Timangila fish, you know, bigger than this building that could swallow a whole ocean liner. They're probably in the Bermuda Triangle. So, and... eventually he came across an island, and there was a little kid on a banyan tree, at a leaf in a banyan tree. He was lying there, and he was sucking on his toes. And, of course, that kid was Krishna. And Krishna sucks on his toes because he wants to also have the taste of his own lotus feet sometimes. So Krishna takes his toes. Not that you should do that with Krishna's toes. I do not think, or cannot remember any pastime where devotees in Vrindavan, they would suck on Krishna's toes. But Krishna sucked on his own toes. Isn't it? Mother Yashoda didn't suck on Krishna's toes. What? What happens? Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That was Kavi Karnapur. He put a Kavi Karna for his mouth. Yes, that's true. Yep. That is true. Thank you for reminding me about that. But generally that doesn't happen. So Krishna wanted to taste his own lotus feet. So he was sucking on his toe. Markandeya Rishi saw this kid on the banyan leaf. And the kid just started breathing. And then what happened is that Markandeya Rishi was sucked in as the kid breathed in. And then he saw the universe as it was before after he entered the kid's body. And then he was blown out when the kid blew out, you know, breathed in the opposite direction. So, but Krishna didn't want him to see this. You know, it may appear interesting, you know, oh, of course, I'd like to see all the universe, the ocean of devastation. I think it would be a far-out movie. And, you know, I'd like to see Krishna on the banyan leaf. But Krishna didn't really want it, but he gave him facility for doing that. It's interesting, isn't it? So we're in the same situation. Krishna doesn't want us to do a whole bunch of things, but he's the overseer, according to the Bhagavad Gita, he's the overseer and permitter. Overseer means he's aware of it, and he's feeling intense pain for us, too, because he sees how we're suffering from separation from him, being outside of our constitutional position. And he also wants us with him. You know, Krishna likes us. He wants to play with us. It's just like a friend. You know, you go to a friend's house, you know, when you're young, and you call out, hey, when are you coming out to play? And he says, my mother won't let me come out today. And it's a great disappointment that your good friend won't play with you. So Krishna really wants us. He enjoys being with us. That's pretty nice, isn't it? I mean, someone who actually enjoys being with us. Sometimes I say to people, someone gives me some appreciation, I say, well, at least someone loves me. You know, a devotee writes me, you know, I really appreciate you and everything. Wow, it's good that someone loves me. But actually, Krishna loves you and he wants to be with you all the time. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So here's someone who loves you, wants to be with you all the time, but he's allowing you to be yourself. In spite of it, and he also has someone who also has the ability to do any damn thing he wants at any time he wants. That's pretty cool. I mean, if I had the ability to do anything I want to anyone else whenever I wanted to, I mean, I wouldn't let you have your independence. I just say, you know, hey, do that, you know, bring me the grapes, feed me the grapes. I wouldn't say that exactly, but. Or go on Sankirtan. Do the deity worship. Okay. Yes, sir. And then I have a... just like that. What was that movie? Oh, yeah. Star Wars, they have the clone army. So it is by the clone devotees. Isn't that... like that. So, but Krishna, even though he has that ability to force you, but he doesn't exercise that. And so you have that... juxtaposition of that great love and hankering, but the control, the respect, isn't it? I mean, that's really interesting. You have the great love hankering for you, but to respect you at the same time. Think about that. That's actually quite interesting. So therefore, if someone, like this particular situation here, if someone sees the promise of the senses, which include the mind, manakshastani, indriyani, prakriti, sani, karshati. Of course, this is an empty promise. Because the senses, they promise you, and the mind promises you, somehow are the, it's great fortune. I have a great desire to satisfy you. It's like, you know, there's this promise, but behind, it's like a facade in a movie set. You know, a movie set? It was like when I was young, I went to Universal City. In California, I'm sure some of you have been there, and you see these sets for the cowboy movies and everything, like the OK Corral or something like that, OK Bar or something. And then it's just like a facade. In other words, just a face. You just walk through it. It's just a scaffolding behind it. And so that's the promise we get from these senses. We'll make you happy. Wow. And or, you know, in the ordinary romantic sense, you know, a woman will come to a man, I'll make you happy. and or a man will come to a woman, I'll make you happy. I will give you security. I will give you anything you want. Here's a ring, diamond ring. And what do they say? Diamonds are a girl's best friend, you know. And, I mean, there's so many advertisements like that. I was looking at the main page for PayPal the other day, and they had a man giving earrings to a girl and saying, you know, you buy this securely and make her love you or something like that. So that's bribery. You know, there's another form of bribery that you get something. That's interesting. There's a promise, but it's an empty promise. And Krishna lets you keep trying all these empty promises that you're getting until you actually learn, like Einstein said, I'm fond of quoting him, that insanity means to keep doing the same thing and think you're going to get a different result. So, isn't it? So we keep doing the same thing. We just, it's also called punak purnas charvita charvanam. They're chewing the already chewed. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says, isn't it? Matirna Krishna. Same thing as, that's exactly the same as this purport here by Srila Prabhupada. Matirna Krishna. That if one doesn't want Krishna, or is turning his mind away from Krishna, paratos vatova, that he may even have good association, you know, some devotee preaching to him, reading books, you know, Prabhupada's books, whatever. But if he's determined, graha vratanam, it really won't help him. Because he's really determined, and Krishna's not going to interfere with your free will. Graha vratanam. And then dantagopir, his senses will be uncontrolled, which is actually what mentioned here in this second verse, or the second half of the verse that Prabhupada quotes, bahushakka chanantascha. That means his intelligence is many branch, or his senses, basically, implicitly, the senses are uncontrolled. So, and dantagopir, vishatam, tamishram, and then he enters into ignorance, and then what we have is punak punas char vita char vananam. It's like someone getting drunk, and then they roll in their whatever the next morning, the vomit, and then they get drunk the next day, they get drunk the next day, and they get developing so many diseases, and they keep doing it. It's just, you know, it's just this habit. So, anyway, so we should see that this is an empty promise that Maya is giving us. And turn our face back to Krishna. Then, once we turn our face back to Krishna, then at that point, these other desires will diminish and go away. You can't really become detached from the senses just by being detached from the senses. You have to be attached to satisfying the senses of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. So if we come to the point of hearing and chanting about Krishna enough, then we're attached to satisfying Krishna's senses, and then we see this other thing as just some phantasmagoria. So any questions or comments? I don't have anything else to say, but this is basic Krishna consciousness 101. But it's an interesting point how Krishna respects us. Isn't it? I mean, I thought that was quite interesting, how Krishna really respects us so much that he allows us to exercise our independence in spite of wanting something intensely different for us. He's the best parent. He's like following Dr. Spock. Remember Dr. Spock? He was the one who advocated that the children be allowed to express themselves. You remember that? The 1960s, there was a whole theory of raising children, that the children will naturally express themselves and come out to the right conclusion. So Krishna follows that. Why? Because we'll be dissatisfied whatever we do, whatever we try, until we come to Krishna consciousness. That's why. He understands that. He understands that our nature is such that whatever we do, whatever we have, whoever we have a relationship with, it's not going to give us happiness until we actually take shelter of Krishna. So any questions? We have a lot more time. I allow 10 minutes. Yeah.
So it would be
I'm not saying that's a good question, because I'm not saying that we should facilitate other people's sense. I made that point in class that I don't do that, you know, because I'm not Krishna. But I will try to interfere with someone's sense gratification. Good. In one sense, a devotee tries to interfere with someone's free will. He's, in one sense, we say he's more merciful than Krishna. I mean, I've heard that statement before, because, you know, he doesn't facilitate those things, whereas Krishna is facilitated by giving intelligence, remembrance, forgetfulness. I mean, you have to forget Krishna in order to enjoy this material, or attempt to enjoy this material world. You have to forget. I mean, if you're hearing Prabhupada's words, it just spoils the whole, your whole life. As far as trying to enjoy, isn't it? Like, you know, if I go into a bar and I just listen to some, you know, piano bar or something like that, and I'm hearing Prabhupada's words in my mind, this whole material world is a place of suffering, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, and this is ignorance. I just, like, you know, I'm just thinking, stop, stop. You know, mind, stop thinking of Krishna. So Prabhupada compared the spreading of Krishna consciousness, or the distribution of books sometimes, as the entering of poison into the bloodstream. He said the poison has already entered. So what do you do when someone wants you to facilitate their sense gratification, is the question, right? Well, it depends. Like, certain amount of sense gratification depends on your relationship, who the person is, what their intention is, how much that sense gratification will hurt them in devotional service, or maybe you need to let out the proverbial fishing line a little bit. It just depends on that. You know, understand the fishing metaphor, that when you're catching, you should go out and catch a fish, but when they catch fish, they have to let the line out. You just can't pull it in immediately. Sometimes it snaps, and so you let it out, and then you pull in a little bit, let it out, and eventually the fish comes on board. I don't know. That's a horrible example, anyway. Malecha example. But that's really how. Or like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you have to give someone balam rice with ghee on it. Or basmati rice with ghee on it. So in other words, you have to give someone a certain amount of sense gratification in order to, so they don't go crazy. I mean, even though we can say, you know, sense gratification is maya, and we're basically talking about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You have to understand where someone is at their spiritual path, and you don't want to really blast someone to bits. I remember there was one sannyasi, I won't mention his name, who was in charge one time of a farm community. I won't mention where it was in Alachua. But he was in charge of a farm community in Alachua, and he made a rule that no grahasa could live with his wife. You know, and obviously, I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad rule, but it's imposing a standard of renunciation on people who are not ready for it yet. And so, you know, so you had a lot of interesting scenarios that occurred as a result of that. Isn't it, Mother Krishna? A lot of, you know, people, some people may have left, some people may have had psychological disturbances. I mean, so a manager or someone who is advising or facilitating others has to sometimes facilitate or allow a certain amount of something, sense gratification, but within the purview or of the regulated principles, obviously. We don't supply marijuana to people. We don't supply liquor to people. Although Prabhupada said in Mumbai, he said in the Mumbai temple, the Juhu Beach, you can have a smoking room. And we have Bhakti Siddhanta. If you read that book, the Bhakti Siddhanta Vai Baba, he actually was ready to make facility for people, you know, British people who were coming to visit Mayapur to have meat. Did you ever read that book? Anyone here read the book? Yeah, he's ready to make facility.
He did make facility.
He did make facility, yeah. I don't know if they actually ate the meat, but he did make facility.
He told the hotel we were staying in to take care of all the needs, including meat eating.
Meat eating, yeah. So I mean, he said to his disciples who were preaching in Europe, he said, you know, if they want to eat, then let them eat meat or something like that. And I forget the exact expression because there has to be a little bit of, or a lot of intelligence in how to apply that. Do you follow? You know, so and Prabhupada wanted to supply his Western disciples a nice facility in the Holy Dham so they would feel comfortable because they had a different standard of living. You know, we can't, most of us kids can't live under a tree. You know, we need bathrooms and things like that. Sounds strange, but, you know. So we need a little bit of sense gratification like that. Or we need tasty food. I mean, if I put all of you on a diet where it's just boiled vegetables every day without salt, without any spices or anything like that, and no sweetness, you may get a little crazy. Right? So, you know, we look forward. Just like I have my little natural sweets I eat every day. So I look forward to eating that every morning. Little natural with good things in it, you know, good for the health. But, you know, even though it's good for the health, I look forward to taking it. You know, so we have to certainly facilitate sense gratification sometimes. But the aim has to be with bringing people closer to Krishna or keeping ourselves stable in Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes when it gets real hot, we may turn on the air conditioner here. We don't say, that's Maya. You should just tolerate. Tamsa tiksha shabharat. I mean, we can certainly pull out quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, right? To justify things. Matras parshas to kantiya sitochna sukhada gada. Agama payano nichash. Tamsa tiksha shabharata. The summer and winter seasons, heat and cold, pleasure and pain. You must learn to tolerate these things. So forget about this air conditioner business. Let's take them off the wall. Yeah.
I have another question. You were saying how Krishna does not force yearning, but this is the opposite. It gives the facilities, all the facilities to facilitate the desires. On the other hand, if we see the reactions that come afterwards, force upon the living entity. So isn't that like indirect force?
Not necessarily, because the living entity is suffering not so much because of, this is an interesting question, because not so much because of the reactions. The reactions don't cause our suffering. It's our identification that causes the suffering. If a truck hits me, not that I want that to happen, but a truck hits me, and it's my identification with the body that causes my suffering. It's not the truck hitting me that causes the suffering. It's like when one goes to a movie. It's not that, let's say something happens in the movie, there's a plane crash or something like that. Or a breakup of a couple and you start crying. I remember my mother went to one movie, the love story, and she was crying for days afterwards and she was suffering. So in one sense you can say the movie didn't cause her suffering. Her attachment to that would cause her suffering. So we're responsible. The Bhagavad Gita actually says that. The material energy is responsible for the actions and reactions, and the living entity is responsible for the sufferings and enjoyments in this world. There's a verse that states that in the Gita. So, and ultimately, our suffering is due to being separated from Krishna. That's the real cause of the suffering. And, of course, sometimes people say, then why doesn't Krishna change our nature so we can enjoy within this material world if he actually loves us? But the point is, if Krishna changed, Krishna could do anything he wants. But if Krishna changed our nature, we would be inanimate matter. We would be not ourselves. It's like saying, why doesn't Krishna make us not us? So us, who becomes not us, can enjoy. It doesn't make sense for the question, because our nature is as part and parcels of Krishna. And so, you know, the typical example Prabhupada always gives, you know, connected to the body. If you, you serve the body, you serve the stomach, then the, naturally the limbs, or the water in the tree, the root of the tree, then naturally the leaves get water. So it's Krishna's respecting also our constitutional position. He's respecting who we are, and he's also respecting... It's an interesting question you ask, because he's also respecting what we desire at present, but simultaneously both things are being respected. But Krishna, one can remain in the material world forever. I mean, I don't know of anybody who has. You haven't met them yet, but certainly that's possible. You can remain as long as you like. It's not that Krishna forces you because it's so miserable. I mean, people experience the miseries and then they experience the same misery and experience the same miseries and they don't surrender or they don't come to the conclusion that there's no enjoyment. So that's your choice. But Krishna facilitates. But you don't have absolute freedom. That's another point. Absolute freedom would be that you can do anything you want, anytime you want, and there's no restrictions on. Only Krishna is absolutely independent or swarat. Anyway, interesting discussion. All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.